Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Jerry Dulac in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day. Kyle Schwarber makes an immediate impression on the Phillies.
Schwarber and the pitch. And a high fly ball to right field. Piscotty's going back, and it is gone! What a way to start for Kyle Schwarber. A leadoff home run. And the Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
Wow. I was watching him when they announced his name, and then they started announcing JT and Bryce and the guys coming up behind him. He was just looking around, taking everything in. Now, he's had opening days in Wrigley. He's had opening days with Washington. How big do you think this is for him, knowing that he's going to be here for a while?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting for the young man. This is a guy who really wants to win.
Okay, you know it's a desperate fan base when they're doing a curtain call on opening day. All right, so, but Schwarber, that was Tommy McCarthy, John Kruk with the call on the Phillies TV network. All right, Jerry Dulac joins us. First of all, my friend, it's always a pleasure to have any conversation with you.
Steve, absolutely, and I always enjoy chatting with you and coming on the show.
All right, so let's get to the Masters. As somebody who has walked and been on that ground before, we talked about what Tiger Woods is going through. TV doesn't do it justice. Exactly how difficult over 18 holes is that walk?
You know, Steve, I've been there 27 times. Sadly, I'm not there this year to make it a 28, but I'll try and add to my number next year. I tell people, they get an idea that it has some slopes to it, but I tell them, I said, imagine any hole in Western Pennsylvania or any course in Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, there's a lot of hills here, as you well know. And I said, there's nothing around here that compares to the decline of the slope on number 10 or the incline back up 18. Even the walk up from the fairway to 9 green, and that's just several of them. The walk up the fairway to, up number 8. It's just people, they it just doesn't do it any justice. The, you know, from the tee shot on 2 down to the green, the change in elevation, I mean, it's just severe. And, TV flattens those slopes. And so anytime anyone goes there for the first time, I always tell them the two things are going to stand out, just how beautiful the place is. But first and foremost is the hills and valleys there, because you just can't believe it after what you've watched all those years on TV.
Nobody really has the ability to score today because the winds are between 20 and 30 miles per hour. Now, Tiger's now, as we speak, coming off a birdie at 8, where he chipped it within a couple feet and then knocked it in. Cut line's about 4 over. What have you thought about his play so far?
Yeah, and they're thinking because of the afternoon play, and it probably will go to 5 and possibly even 6. Yesterday I thought what he did, Steve, is he played very much within himself. And you can see, and I remarked about this last night on my show when I talked to a couple guys who, writers from Augusta. that you can see when he up and downed it on 18. You know, he quickly doffed that cap and had a smile of satisfaction and accomplishment that not only is he back playing at the Masters, which was accomplishment number one, but to go out and shoot 71 after not playing a competitive round since November of 2020, which was the last round of the Masters. You know, I don't count those father-son things. They're not official right. events, nor the Hero right. World Challenge, where you can ride a cart. Right. To be able to do that, I thought, was, let's face it, was remarkable. And so, but what I equated it to, and we'll see how he finishes up, but two things. One, I thought all along Friday was going to be the key because he has not played back-to-back 18 whole rounds walking at Augusta. He played 18 the previous Tuesday when he was there with his son, but when he came here on Sunday, all he's ever played was nine holes. And so and he hadn't played 18 back-to-back. So Friday was going to be the key. How did he feel after Thursday? And then how's he going to last into the back nine on Friday? That was going to be key number one. But I also think what happened in the first round, Steve, is I equate it to when you or I or a lot of people go out for the first time all year and go, you know what, I hit it pretty good. I was surprised because you have such low expectation. And I think Tiger just went out and played within himself, didn't know what really to expect, but stayed within himself, and you know, comes out of it with 71. And then next time we go out thinking, okay, we got this, you know, and I'm certainly not equating any form that we play with some PGA Tour player, especially Tiger Woods. But then you go out and think, okay, and I felt pretty good, and then you start trying a little bit more, and then you get outside of yourself. And certainly that's the way he started on the front. And part of that, we don't know. We'll never know. I don't know how much he's going to use his leg as an excuse. I really don't think he will. He certainly hasn't used it as a crutch, no pun intended, coming into the tournament. All he has said is just how much he's able to walk. But, hey, Steve, that is, you know, no secret. All the tour players talk about it, and they know it. It's the toughest walk they make all year. Look, I know it's not the NFL, it's not the NHL, but for what they do, walking that golf course, you know, 5.5 to 6 miles with those inclines, you know, and those descents down into the valleys, that's as tough a walk. And, you know, they are fatigued after that. Plus, Steve, 5-hour 20-minute round yesterday. That can't be easy either when you're standing on your leg, your surgically repaired leg, with rods and pins in it for all that time.
And you and I have covered a lot of practice rounds in our careers, so we know that when you're in a practice round, it's a different pace. It's nine holes usually. You hit three or four balls in, then you drop putts all over the green. It's a different pace than, okay, you hit one, then you got to go to the next one. You're not stopping.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and there's no pressure. You know, small example, Scotty Scheffler yesterday had a shot, I think at 13, the ball a little bit above his feet. Maybe he had 220 or whatever he had. And he elected to lay up and pitch it up and try to make birdie. And he said, he goes, if it was a practice round, he goes, oh, definitely I would have tried it. He said, but it's not a practice round, and you're dealing in the afternoon with some wind. You're dealing with a little different slope. You're dealing with the pressure. You're dealing with where you are in a golf tournament. And he elected to play it differently. So, yeah, there really is no comparison between, you know, a practice round and, you know, in a real game and a real match. And, Steve, it's kind of, but, you know, that you can understand it would be the difference between competing in the blue and white game and then going out and trying to beat Michigan.
Right. Exactly. 11 was tough to begin with. They lengthened it. 15's interesting in that usually over the years, I'm not telling you, but many guys would go for that green in two. Nobody's going for the green in two because they lengthen that as well. What does that do to change the tournament? Because I always felt like when you got to the back nine, 13 and 15 were two scorable holes.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other thing was 15 too. It was playing into the player's face And what they're actually trying to do, if they can, is kind of hit it behind. Hope they hit it on the green, but if not, maybe if it falls over the back, that's okay. Because laying up and trying that pitch shot, depending on where the pin is, especially if it's off to the right, is just as dicey because of the slopes there. Yep. You now try to spin a wedge in there, and if you don't hit it just right, zoop, off it goes, back into the water. I think, one of the things I miss about not being there, which I always love when I go down there, is going and seeing the changes. And 11, they've moved the tee box to make more, more of a straight tee ball. And also they took some trees out and they pushed the pine straw back, but they strategically placed those three or four trees on the right, which is now fairway, but those trees are there forcing you to try to stay a little bit to the left. And then they also lowered the green on the right. They created a little swale of about, 2, 3, 4 feet, from the Larry Mize pitch area. So that flat pitch right. that you saw Larry Mize make, well, that's no longer available. But I think what was, and I heard Paul McGinley say this, because when they told me they lengthened 15, I know where that tee was, Steve, and I'm thinking, how could they lengthen it? Where do they go back? Well, yeah. They went back, they built up the area. So the tee now, it was basically by 18 tee box. Now yeah. It's basically behind 10 green. Now, it's not directly behind it, but that's, and then so they like Tiger said during the practice round, he goes, where did they find space back there? Because there was nowhere else to go, but they create right. space. They move earth and they create space. And the beauty of all that, just like when I go back each year and there's a brand new building and cottages on the property, and you go, when did that come up? It looks like it's been there for 20 years, Steve. There's yeah. nothing where you could tell it's new. It looks like it's been there forever, and I guess that's what money will do for you.
Yeah, money does a lot. money does a lot. The knowledge of playing in this tournament means a lot, I'm not telling you. Because there are certain places on this golf course where if you miss and have the right miss, you're still right in the thick of what's going on. What does that knowledge mean to the veterans as opposed to somebody who's been there for like 2-3 times?
Yeah, and that's what Tiger was relying on. That's what he got away with yesterday. He hit only half the greens. He got up and down 7 of the 9 times. I mean, Steve, remember, it wasn't that long ago he had the chip yips. Well, his short game with that wedge off the green, we saw him the other day practicing hook chips, slice chips. When do you see guys doing that? And he's able to do it. And now that's become a strength of his. And he certainly showed that off yesterday. And so knowing where to miss it and, knowing what to stay away from and knowing how to shape shots, which you've got to be able to shape shots, which Tiger does. There's a lot of top players who can't just shape shots. Oh, they get away with one every now and then, but they don't have controlled shaping shots like Tiger certainly did and probably and still does. Yeah. But knowing where to miss it and knowing where to stay away from at all costs, is invaluable. And obviously, Tiger knows it better than anybody. Phil knows it better than anybody. It's why in past years you saw Bernhard Langer be able to get around the golf course and get up there on the leaderboard. It's why you'd see Fred Couples hang in there. Guys who could still play but have that knowledge. And that's what Tiger was relying on. And Phil has that. But unless you're swinging poorly and don't have much control over where the ball's going, period, as long as you kind of have control of the ball and you know where to miss it, that was the difference between Tiger's round yesterday and certainly the first round today.
This is the type of day.
Excuse me, not the first round, the first 9 holes. He's on 10 right now. So
right, exactly. This is the type of day where you're going to have a bunch leaderboard. A lot of people are going to be within 3 or 4 shots of this thing when the day's over with. So in that group, give me a couple names that you're very interested in to see if they have the ability to finish the deal.
Well, I'll tell you, before the tournament, I looked, everybody, and I put them up on my chart, Cam Smith, and Scottie Scheffler are two hottest players on the planet, and so they're big betting favorites. And so they're hanging there. Scheffler's at the top, and Cam Smith, you know, couple over today, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. There's still two rounds to go. So you know they're going to be there just based on the way they're playing. But two guys that I like were Dustin Johnson and Patrick Cantlay, and Patrick Cantlay was the guy I picked to win. You know, he started off slow yesterday, two over on the front, battled back, ended up finishing minus two. I think he finished the day today at even. He shot plus 274. But you know what? Even par is going to get him three, four shots back with two rounds to go. Those are the guys that I have my eye on. You know, would I like to see Rory McIlroy win the Grand Slam? Absolutely. Would I like to see Jordan Spieth win again? Absolutely. Jordan Spieth could have three green jackets. Instead, he just has one. And he plays at Augusta National better than anybody since 2014. Yet he struggled again today. I think he was plus two, and I think he's plus four for the tournament. But I think those four guys I mentioned are the ones worth watching. You know, Charles Schwartzel shot 69. I was there in 11 when he birdied the last four holes to win. I mean, nobody ever does that. And he's just been kind of middling his way through this year, not playing well at all. And there he is on the toughest day in years, shooting three under and vaulting to the top of the leaderboard there for most of the time. So, but I think I think between Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler, Dustin Johnson, and Patrick Cantlay, I'd be willing to bet your winner is going to come from one of those four.
Well, down the road, we'll talk a little bit about the Steelers draft. We'll get to that another day. Hey, this is golf time today.
That's right. That draft will be coming up at the in a couple weeks, and we'll have plenty of time to assess that. That's for sure.
Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Well, Steve, always a treat being with you. I had lunch today with my buddy over at Chartiers, and I thought for sure I was due to run into Ronnie Moeller, our friend, and I was going to tell him, say, Ron, I have an appointment on the Steve Jones Show at 4:06 in case you want to tune in, but alas, I did not run into him.
What I'll do, though, is I'll send it to him.
There you go.
All right.
And he'll like that. Tell him I was looking for him this afternoon and missed him.
And I'm shocked you missed him because he really is the king of shorts here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. His picture hangs up in the first floor. And so, you know, he lords over the club. I was shocked he wasn't there.
I mean, Jack and I walk in there and we'll go, okay, we don't genuflect. There's a reason.
That's funny.
Jerry, thanks so much.
All right, Steve. Yeah, good being with you, my friend.
You too, my friend. Jerry Dulac. I think, we got Ted Emmer coming up, the Suits cousin.
We do.
That's great. What's the deal with the nepotism?
It's Masters time. That's why. This is something new that we're doing too.
Yeah, but but he's the Suits cousin. I don't know if he's actually there or he's sitting at home watching on TV. I don't know what's going on with this.
Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
All right. Let's go to Augusta National. Ted Emmerich.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
I believe the best part of my game, aside from my quickness and my athletic ability, is my IQ and my ability to use certain move and change and make movements on the fly. You know, you think about being able to study the game, study offensive linemen, and anticipating what type of set they're going to give me. I think that's what set me apart.
He was only here 1 year, but boy, do I like Arnold Ebiketie. Came up to me in practice, I don't know, it was a week ago. Throws his arm around me, says, Steve, he says, boy, it's a lot easier over here where you are. I said, yeah, no kidding. I said, I know I've got the softest job going. Oh, Tiger's 3 feet away on 10. Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry. So sorry.
He's still got a long way to go.
I'll tell you right now, if he were to end the day at even par, he'd only be 3 shots back. Right now, he's 2 over for the tournament. There is going to be a group that's going to be... There are going to be, I would say, before today's over with, a minimum of 30 guys within 3 or 4 shots of the lead. And if Tiger's one of them, you're going to be beside yourself.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, no. Tiger just birdied. Oh, no. He's 1 over.
Cool.
I mean, you were so happy when he was failing.
Look, he's rebounded nicely after he started the day the way I thought he would, with everything going on, with the coming off the long day yesterday and the weather conditions down there, but give him credit.
He's got some tough holes coming up. He's going to 11 now, and 11 and 5 might be the two toughest holes in the course, although today one's playing tough. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Get ready because Matt's going to be going after all these, probably like two of each. Right. Wine coolers, Matt'll be going for that too. Water, that'll be for the kids. Soft drinks. Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. Matt may go for all 6. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Let's hear it over there in Turbotville. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. He's not only that, but geez. Hey, what bothers me is like now you're down on Embiid.
The best freaking pickle I ever had in my life is from that.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly.
Good stuff. Yeah. Awesome chips. Awesome everything. Awesome owner. Great place to be. Had fun.
Awesome. Great
place.
That
would be at Boris Becker, though. Holy crap.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, how do these guys make so much money and blow it? Can you imagine having $50 million and losing all of it?
Well, that actually, if we go back to the corner office, we could find out.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
I hate the show.
Hey, I had them people figure it out right. They could have got tickets. They wanted them cheaper.
Gotcha.
That's not happening here. Karen hasn't heard from him since, so.
Okay. No problem.
I totally read it the wrong way, and then I go on. I'm thinking, my God, that game's not for 7 months. It's sold out. Right. And no, it's not sold out. No. I mean, you see the ticket prices for Ohio State game? Oh, my God.
Honest with you, I'm in a spot where I don't check that out.
Well, I know. Well, you should, because it's alarming. The $100 seat for the Minnesota game is $350 for the Ohio State game.
Boo.
Yeah, wow. That's a steep, steep increase. That's, I don't know how you define price gouging, but
that's
kind of there, you know. I mean, that's like, come on, man, it's a freaking football game. They're not, they're making a lot of money on those games, man, a lot of money. So.
I mean, Matt's willing to pay that for a Sixers playoff game.
Which I paid $185 a ticket to see the Rolling Stones. That was worth it. So who am I to judge? You know,
Matt, what would you pay money for?
I usually don't. The most I've actually ever paid for a game was $250. I paid for an Eagles game. I forget what game it was though. But nowadays,
Jacksonville.
No, actually. No. But nowadays with kids and stuff, I try not to go north of like 150.
You are going to be bringing those kids. You're going to bring them to an Eagles game at some point when they get older.
Yeah.
You're going to take them to Yankee Stadium when they get older. All right. Now, it won't be in the seats behind home plate. But
no.
You'll take them.
I'm going to need to work a long time to get those seats.
Kev, tell them about when Dad took you to Yankee Stadium and the strike.
Oh, my God. The cab broke down, right? And to start it off, my mother did not want us to go. She was so mad at me. I was selfish. I was this. But I wanted to see the Yankees play. And my father, God bless him, he said, okay. And he was running this stupid business, and he really didn't have time. So we take the train down there, and then we get in the cab, and we're really running late. And the cab breaks down.
Oh, no.
So then another cab picks us up, and we tell the guy, and he's driving down these alleys to get them. He gets us there. And it's an Oakland A's. Joe Rudy was the left fielder. Yeah. Oakland A's, Yankees, the old Yankee Stadium. And I'm in my glory. And it's a doubleheader. So my father says, okay, you hungry? Because we were starving. He goes up to get, like, hot dogs and stuff. And I'm sitting there. And he doesn't come back for, like, an hour. Now I'm like, oh, my God, Dad's dead. So he comes back with nothing, right? He said, you know how Daddy huffs and puffs?
Yeah. So
he goes, they went on strike.
the concession people went on strike
while we were at the game.
Wow. Like, that's the first time I've heard that one.
It's just anything that could go wrong went wrong, but it was special. We had a good time.
But that's a good opening day story right there.
Yeah, but Kevin was also at the night when Ron Guidry struck out 18.
Yes, I was. No, he struck out 20. Wasn't it 20? California Angels. We were right behind the. Was it 18 or 20? I don't know. It was a lot. I mean, he struck out everybody.
It's 18 because the record's 20, and it was not the record.
Okay.
It was a Yankee record.
So it was 18. We were right behind first base.
How about that? All right.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
My college buddies, yeah. Guidry, he was great. Loved him. That's when it was fun to watch, boy. Man, Yankees,
and
Reggie Jackson, Billy Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Billy Martin was priceless. He was. Remember when him and Reggie got the fight? And the fans used to throw. Well, we're talking about money before it came on. Reggie Jackson signed the $1 million contract. That was a big deal back then, $1 million. So he had his own candy bar, and he'd stand out in right field, and people would be throwing the little Reggie bars at him out in the field, or they'd throw quarters at him. So then Billy pulled him out of that game because he missed a fly ball, and they got in a fight in the dugout, and Billy wanted to kill him, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the good old days. Steinbrenner would fire Billy, then hire him back, then fire him, and then hire him back, and fire him again. And
crazy.
It was fun.
Crazy.
The Yankees Red Sox are getting fights all the time. And
God, Munson and Fisk got into a fight one night. It was like,
classic.
My goodness.
Classic, brutal. Munson and Fisk. Who was better, you know? And it kind of got rebuilt again with Nomar and Jeter, but
Yeah.
My generation, of course, is A-Rod and Don Zimmer.
Yep.
Yeah,
and Pedro Martinez throwing Don Zimmer down in the 04.
Yeah, throwing Don Zimmer down. Sorry, that's a bad look. I mean, you know, Don Zimmer's like 80 years old, and he's throwing the 80-year-old guy down. Like, come on. You can't
do that. And it wouldn't have to be Martinez. And he was so funny. He's like, oh, wow, man, are you all right? Zimmer's just tumbling along the crowd.
All right. I mean, because Munson and Fisk, it was interesting because Fisk was more of a finesse guy and Munson was tough as nails.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, Nomar and Jeter. Jeter was the better all-around player without question.
Well, remember that night the Yankees were playing the Red Sox and Nomar was out of the game sitting in the dugout pouting and Jeter's diving over the left field wall, catching a foul ball, lands on his head, catches the ball, and then the camera goes to Nomar just sitting by himself in the dugout. That was the end of basically the end of his career. So.
Right, and then, well, and the other part, too, is we spent so much time watching games. Nomar's a big reason why. He just adjusts his batting gloves all the time. It's like, just get in the box, will you?
Well, the guy could hit. He could field, but there was something
missing. Oh, he's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player. There's no getting around it. But it's like, come on, just get in the box. I don't need... But, I mean, if you don't know how to put on batting gloves, you're not that smart.
Yeah, well, he was hitchy and quirky and
You know what? All these guys are convinced they have to do their routine before they do anything. Like guys that go to the free throw line, they got to do their routine. Here, catch the ball, shoot it. Okay.
It's freak what do you themselves think? Out, you know.
Yeah, yesterday was practice, you know. It's what's the difference? All right. Okay, we'll take a break. Tomorrow's headlines. Mats will be mostly bitter. But we'll come back with those in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, headlines. What will the headlines from the weekend look like?
Well, first of all, let's see. Gleyber Torres just pinched hit, and the Yankees have now tied the game at 5 on a sac fly in the 10th. Okay.
Yeah, but you got to remember, I mean, the Red Sox got the lead in the 10th inning.
Correct, because of
the runner on second thing. The Yankees tied it up because of the runner on second thing. It's just...
Yeah, it's stupid.
In the minor leagues, I was all for that because there's no need to lengthen a minor league game. But this is Major League Baseball. You got to get back to playing the game.
We changed everything else. We got the DH. We got 9-inning doubleheaders back. But we still have stinking runner on second base in the 10th. It's stupid.
I don't get that. I don't get it.
All right. Well, anyway, what I actually was going to leave off with was how many more updates will I get on Tiger from my ESPN app this whole weekend? My over-under is at 10.
I think 15.
I think you may be right.
How many times will Jim Nance mention Tiger's name throughout the weekend?
Good one as well. And then I'm officially
194.
calling, and I'm officially calling Tiger's injury updates the boo-boo report. How many boo-boo reports am I going to get on Tiger as well this weekend? I have that over-under also at 5. So I give you a twofer right there.
Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. Let's see. Whatever.
And we'll see any more times I vomit during the weekend, too. Okay, I've had it. Okay, that's enough. Steve, what do you got?
the over and under on how many times Matt is bitter over the weekend. I say 40.
King, what do you got?
Well, a little still staying with golf. Will Phil Mickelson ever play in the PGA again?
He is the defending champion.
Yeah, but he's got a huge controversy going on.
I would guess that he will come back and he will play in the PGA and might play in one tournament before it.
I read it, and I don't understand. I don't know what the Saudi league is. I have no idea. He's got the rest of the players very angry at him. And
slowly but surely, they're coming back to him. Like Gary Player made a great point at a press conference yesterday. He said, look, we all make mistakes. He said, this one is not good for our business, but it's not a fatal mistake either. He said, people have got to forgive him at some point. So
I agree. I think he'll be back before the major, too.
Oh, he's fun. I followed him around the Greater Hartford Open. I mean, he's just fun to be around. You can tell he's just a good guy. I hate the fact that he won't be in Hartford this year.
Yeah.
Too bad, you know, because he is a huge draw. And, I mean, I think guys like him, they pay him to come because he draws so many fans. But whatever.
He was also inducted into my Hall of Stinkage earlier this week.
His what?
I now have, Steve has now made me the head of the Hall of Stinkage. All the guys that I don't like are called dopes. And Phil Mickelson earned himself a bust in the Hall of Stinkage this week.
Well, Aaron Judge is on his way, so whatever.
How about that? I'm not ready to do that yet.
200 plus million, and he said no? And I was like,
yeah, 213 and a half million, he said no. It's like, God, you're not that good, dude. I mean, the Yankees haven't won a World Series with you, you know? You're hurt half the time.
But that's not where the contract's. I mean, I get it. I get it's a lot of money. It's annoying. But I think the Yankees came in a little low, to be honest with you.
But see, this is where, with him, if we're looking at today's baseball, in today's baseball, they don't want players over the age of 33. Okay. Well, in today's baseball, what are you offering a 30-year-old a long-term contract for?
Exactly.
Well, how about this, Matt? Who would you rather have, Evander Bogarts or Aaron Judge?
I'd probably stick with Judge.
I'd rather have Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
But that's me. But I'll say this. Here's Judge's big problem. From 2018 to 2020, he played in only 63% of the Yankees' games.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Bogarts is asking for $120 million. You know, is Aaron Judge $90 million better than Bogarts?
Bogarts plays
every day. He's a team leader.
He's got two world championship rings, too.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and he was a big part of all of it. And I'm like, come on, Aaron, you're not on that level. I don't at all. I don't, because the Yankees haven't won nothing with you. So I want you to win me a World Series and then ask for that kind of money.
And Red Sox Yankees going to the 11th as IFK strikes out with two men on. 5-5. There we go. All right, my next one is going to stick with baseball, but I'm going to go with the beloved Pittsburgh Pirates. We got our buddy Chris Mack on.
They're going to win?
No. Are they going to score a run this weekend? Because they were shut out last night, 9-0.
This is how I termed it earlier today.
How many runs will Pittsburgh score this year? Can you imagine what a boot the butt that is?
92 for the year. I said I said today. They said the Pirates lost. I said, well, that's one down, 99 to go.
What's that stupid commercial with the when they're betting with the blah girl, Kings or whatever? I don't know if you have them there.
DraftKings.
If you bet a dollar on Pittsburgh, they'll score a run today. You could win $100.
That is excellent. We need to send that to DraftKings.
DraftKings, that's it. Yeah.
Unreal. It's, I mean, they've got a guy that potentially could be their power hitter. They sent him to Indianapolis. To do what? Eat at St. Omo's? Dude, put him on the big team, will you? Come on.
Hey, I mean, that's actually not a bad ordeal right now. At least if he's going to lose and be on a losing franchise, at least he gets a good steak dinner every night.
Oh,
that's not bad, actually.
Yeah, but he's trying to do it on a minor leaguer's salary.
Oh, that's true.
Hey, how many people knew Sheffer was the number one player in the world?
Didn't know that till this weekend.
Nah, me neither. It's like, really?
Well,
he's still playing, huh?
Well, to be honest with you, he ascended to number one when he won last week. That's when it happened.
And it's still early.
He is one heck of a player, though.
Oh,
he
there's a
really
lot of
good
young players. You just don't know their names, you know. I mean, they're in the Masters. You're looking at the list, you're like, holy cow, I've never heard of half of these guys. But they had to earn their way there. You know, they're very good. I think CBS has a magnet in Tiger's ball and put steel cups out there.
Right now, there are CBS executives that found religion the last 24 hours.
Oh, absolutely. The ratings are up 35% if he plays. If he doesn't make the cut, forget about him.
I mean,
it's just the
ends
to be like trying to come up with holy stories for people and sob stories and, you know.
There will be people like that'll be rooting for Tiger, and then people like Matt that'll be hoping that it looks like the fugitive with the bus.
I'm more on Matt's side. I'm good.
There we go.
Golf's got to move on from Tiger.
Thank you.
I mean, hey, come on.
And Phil. Time to move on for both of them.
Yeah.
No offense. No offense. In a major last year, Phil won. If you're still winning, you're relevant.
Well, it was fun when Phil won. It's fun to watch the older guys win, but my gosh, you got to move on. These young players are really good, but you have to accept where golf is. Tiger's not going to be around, you know, much longer. So, it is amazing how the ratings go up with him.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
Yeah,
because
35%.
Matt wants to see if Neiman's 8 feet from the hole. What a shot at 12. Wow.
Good, there
see,
we go.
There's one, there's one of the young guys right there. Oh, Tiger's left foot away. No, I'm just kidding. Hasn't hit yet.